Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer Distributors. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. And today is our Good Beer Seal show. It's Tuesday, July 17th, 2017. We've got some great guests joining us today at Heritage Radio Network. And we're celebrating Good Beer Month here in New York City. So let's have everyone announce themselves. This is one of my favorite times of the year, July Good Beer Month. So much of it is about, you know, this special small craft beer bars in the city, many of whom I've known going back to 2009, and to talk about things like, you know, why beer bars are important, and, you know, they were always the ultimate tasting rooms for breweries, and so much has changed in the city and the state for the better. There's so many breweries, and breweries have tasting rooms. So we want to get, talk about the personalities and the special places where I still like to go to get my beer. So everybody, let's go around the room and introduce yourselves.
I'm Justin Phillips from Beer Table.
I'm Robert Sherrill from Copenhagen.
I'm Kyle Kinzer from Randolph Beer.
I'm Dan McLaughlin from the Pony Bar.
I'm Alicia from Meckleburgs.
And we'd like to welcome you all to the show. So give a big cheer. And David's got special effects. Like, thank you so much. You know, y'all got some great stories. You know, back in 2009, things were a little different. There are only four breweries in New York City. There had just started in 2008 the first New York Craft Beer Week, which is actually started by an individual, and all distributors and breweries and bars were involved. And Justin, you know, think back to that time. You had my favorite little fancy beer bar in Brooklyn where you poured nice beers from bottles like it was wine. You had a different approach, and you're one of the people that your place and Spite and Dive were places that I looked up to. And I said, you know, I don't want to just go into a saloon style place and have beer. I want beer. You know, the way you, what's your approach to beer? Because it was always different, especially back then.
Yeah, I mean, that was a special time and very different than what I do now, though, of course, it's still the same brand Beer Table. But it was a great time in 2009. We were a couple years into having opened the first place, and all about tasting and flavor and aroma and all, you know, all the good things that make beer good food.
And you were even cooking sometimes. You had specials.
Yeah, for sure.
But you would also, you'd work for B United, so you had a lot of special large format bottles, and you were pouring them, and you always had stemware.
Yeah, we were always trying new things and not really worrying about traditional beer service ever. That wasn't really that important to me. I just really wanted to see whatever was exciting and out there, and just all about tasting and sharing good things with folks.
It's always been a good one with you, bro. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
Jeremy. And then Dan from the Pony Bar, you too, back then, you know, tell us about your place back then.
2009, everybody said in 2009, you'll never make it there. There's no there on 10th Avenue. And now we're on the Upper East Side at 75th and 1st, and things are good. The business model is still similar, but there's been a lot of changes from operating costs to back of house things to the price of kegs, price of labor. But at the end of the day, it's really about getting the liquid in front of the patron and letting them decide what they like. And now there's more liquid to choose from than ever before, you know.
But when your first pony had a concept, right? It was like $5 pints.
Correct, yeah, $5
was
pints.
Was it all New York?
No, it was all American. All American draft only, no imports, no package. And it took off. It did very well. And all of our beers were the same price. Everything was $5. The only thing that changed was the glass size between 14 ounces and 8 ounces. And
Yeah, right. And Kyle, what were you doing back in 2009?
Actually, I was just moving to New York City at that time.
I was coming out from L.A., settling in and starting to explore. And actually, funny enough, Pony Bar was one of the first spots I used to go to when I was living in Hell's Kitchen at that time. So I definitely credit them to sort of my entrance into New York City's beer scene.
So you're part of Randolph.
Randolph Beer, yeah.
Randolph Beer, and you've got a couple locations.
Yeah, we've got a Nolita in South Williamsburg, and we're here just a couple weeks away from opening our brew pub in Dumbo.
That's great, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, finally.
And then Alicia from Mecklenburg's, you know, you had a great story. You were, what, going around the country opening gourmet shops for...
In 2009,
store.
Yeah. I was working at Bed Bath & Beyond as the gourmet food, wine, and beer buyer.
So you really got a lot of experience. I also spent
almost every weekend learning from Justin at Beer Table. I had moved to Brooklyn in 2009 as well, and they sent me to Cologne, and you told me everything to do in Cologne, so thanks.
We had a few beers.
For everything, yeah, thank you.
Well, and Robert, you know, tell us what you were doing back then. I know you were a home brewer.
2009, yeah, well, 2009 I was a home brewer, but I was also a theater producer at the time. Like, I was working for a number of different theater companies. I worked for the Labyrinth Theater Company, was the last theater company that I worked for, I sort of transitioned into beer. I'm sort of the new person in the room when it comes to depth of experience in the craft beer market. But I think having an experience in theater prepared me for anything. And I think that a lot of the same things just translate over. It's making sure that people have a good time. It's making sure that they get their money's worth. And just making sure that, like, everything that you do supports local, supports craft, supports local business, and just being a pillar of your community.
And you're the manager at Covenhoven NYC.
Yep.
In Brooklyn. So what makes you guys tick? I mean, you know, Kyle, you've kind of like you've got a lot to say about the industry.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that you talk about the amount of breweries and bars that have started to open, it's been great. You know, as I mentioned, 2009 to now, those last 8 years, it's been really crazy to see just how many of the bars are open, but also how many breweries have been open. It's great to see that now you can really support the New York City beer scene, not just the New York State beer scene, or as you did, Dan, Pony Bar, the sort of American scene, that you can really now dive into all these great breweries in New York City alone now. That's been a lot of one of my favorite things to see over the last couple of years.
All right, let's try to get a sense of, you know, each one of these places. What I love about these good beer seal bars is that each one's fairly unique and really has an approach, and often the owner's, you know, spirits come through. So each one of you, tell me something that's at your shop now that represents you. It could be your product. It could be the way you do service. Start with Alicia.
With that, it's a little interesting because we're a craft beer bar, but we're also a gourmet food shop. So two things I would say. The Michelob Ultra, which I brought in, that Barrier made for us, is amazing. That's our Pilsner. That is just fantastic.
I just kicked that at my bar.
Oh, did you? Yeah. It's those guys are incredible.
Ultra.
Michelob Ultra. Yeah. And then clearly our Ample Hills Babka ice cream.
And your personality's all over it. Everything's Mex. You're Alicia Mex on Facebook. You didn't know that, but that's her.
Yeah. Branding.
What about for you, Dan? You know, now you've settled. You're at Pony NYC on the Upper East Side.
Correct. Yeah. You know, at one point, I co-owned four bars with a business partner, and we went our separate ways. So now I simply am the owner of the Pony Bar on 75th and 1st. And does my personality sign shine through? I like to think it does. I guess it does. We're still American only. We're still draft only. We recently introduced a thing called Dan's Cans, where we're trying to do brewery source cans from local breweries like Grimm, Barrier, Other Half, Threes.
That sounds cool.
Industrial Arts, Peekskill, and those have been really popular. Now it's constantly hunt and peck looking for 16-ounce IPA cans. but
you've been on the map. I mean, a couple years ago when the founders of Sierra Nevada... Ken Grossman came and did a launch of their Otra Vez Goza.
Correct.
He picked the Pony Bar. So you know, you've been this industry stalwart. You know, what are some of those other relationships that you have like that?
Well, one of the things with the relationships is that we've got length. We've got some distance between us now. We're just turned 8 years old. So in 8 years, we've poured a lot of beer from a lot of different people. Some breweries that are no longer in the market or that are defunct. Some people that have pulled out of the market. But when you're pouring a brewery consistently day in, day out for 8 years, you're going to sort of develop that relationship, especially if they have reps in the market. So when sometimes when big wigs or luminaries or brewery owners come to town, they'll you know come to the Pony Bar and set up shop, and we'll host events with them. So that's great. That's years in the making, those relationships.
And then Justin, you've evolved, you know, Beer Taylor from a boutique, you know, beer bar to a bigger retail operation. Are you selling cans too, or you know, yeah. What are you mostly selling out of there?
Yeah, I mean, we've had just in the last 7-8 months, we've seen a huge shift, partially because of what's happened in Grand Central, which is our main location. There were a bunch of bar carts there that were shut down in December, and immediately all of the folks who were able to buy beer everywhere in Grand Central didn't have a place except for to come to us. And so it's intense. The can volume is nuts.
So I should just go to Grand Central. How about this? We should do a trip. Go to Grand Central, buy a couple of beers at Beer Table, yeah. And get on the Metro North.
Yep, exactly.
And just have a drink.
Yeah,
and
that's the bulk of our customers.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to Peekskill Brewery or something.
Exactly, yeah.
Or do a remote from Grand Central. Do a remote show.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Robert, too, tell us. So you know, you stepped into Covenhoven. Yep. You were like every writer, like, you know, Justin Kennedy, Josh Bernstein, they all lived up by Covenhoven. And yeah, suddenly you came on the map. It's like, oh, this is like our.
Well, yeah,
cool,
I mean, it's sort
shop.
Of it's sort of one of those things. Like, Covenhoven is pretty much every beer professional's local. Like, there's a lot of beer professionals that live in our neighborhood. So they have a vested interest in making sure that our tap list is great because it's their local as well. The great thing about my job is that I walk 3 blocks to work, you know, like it's, and all I have to do is maintain the relationships that were already established by my predecessor, James Case, who was an amazing beer buyer and, works for Threes now, you know, like it's just, it's easy to do. It's easy. I think my philosophy, is the same from theater that it is now as a beer buyer, which is I'm not investing necessarily in a specific beer. I'm investing in the life of a brewery, much the way that I invested in the life of a playwright, not in a specific play. And to be able to do that and to actually see my friends like open up beer bars right now, breweries right now, it's kind of amazing. You know, it's kind of, you know, I mean, I'm sure we've all like had friends say, I'm going to open a brewery. And you're like, sure you are, buddy. But to actually see it happen and to be able to support them in a way that I couldn't before is really quite gratifying.
That's great. And earlier, so Alicia said that, you know, you made a beer, a Meckel Ultra beer. You're pouring it. So how did that connection happen? Did you know that they were making a beer? Was it through the brewery?
Of course. Yeah. Like, I mean, I follow Meckelbergs on Instagram. I follow Barrier on Instagram. And, you know, I you've got to keep up with where the industry is going and what's happening and what beers are out. And thankfully we both have probably the same rep, Phil Beglin, who was like, hey, do you want that Meckelbergs collab? And I was like, hell yeah, I want that Meckelbergs collab. And it was delicious. And we poured through it so quickly.
Yeah. Cardiff Giant, I think, also just kicked it recently. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then Kyle, before we take our break, quick shout out where you guys are going at Randolph Beer. You know, you're opening a brewery.
Yeah, the brew pub. You know, it's funny you say, you know, good luck opening the brewery because it's been so hard. I mean, opening a bar is hard, but opening a brew pub, the Department of Buildings has been a little tough, shall we say, to deal with. But, you know, we're going to persevere and we'll be open in a couple weeks. But, you know, I think the personality, as you were talking about earlier, comes out because we take our beer serious, we take our food serious, but we love to have fun. It's not stuffy. It's not, you know, overbearing. You know, we still play classic rock. Have some fun, but drink some great beer and eat some great food at the same time.
Yeah, great. Well, this is going to be a great night on the show, and we'll take a short break and be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, Sheehan Family Companies, formerly L. Knife & Son, acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn. Union Beer has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Brooklyn and parts of Queens through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Long Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available.
through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education at all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the seven counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's July Good Beer Month. We've got some good beer sealed bars in the house. And Robert Sherrill, one of my favorite New York City beer guys, now I'm a beer buyer at Copenhagen. You brought us two great beers. We already had them.
Yeah.
What did you bring in?
Let's start with the second
first. We have a lot to cover today.
The second was the Paramount Pale Ale from Peekskill. They're making some really delicious cans right now. We've also got that in the shop. We've had that in the shop, and we also have Aussie Slang in the shop. Both really delicious pale ales. Their can game has just gone to a whole nother level. And before that, speaking of Peekskill, we have Power Tools from Industrial Arts, from Chief, who used to be the head brewer at Peekskill. It's a delicious IPA, super hazy, northeastern. I think it's like 5.9%. Really, really delicious beer.
So let's go talking about, you know, how do you keep up with all these beers? I mean, I still buy the beer at Jimmy's Number 43, but I feel like that times have changed, and I also can't keep up with, you know, everything that everybody wants. You know, who has a beer buyer now? You know, who is? I mean, I know you do. Tell us about your guy, because he was on the show last year, Alicia.
Yes, Eric Hall. We would not be Meckelbergs if we did not have Eric Hall.
And what do you like about having a beer buyer for your operation?
He makes us the best we could be. I don't know. I don't know. Like, we're expanding. We're opening a second one. Wouldn't be possible without him.
Yeah, and Justin, what about for your beer table location?
Yeah, each manager for each store is the buyer for the store. And I think it's really important because our model is all about super fast turn inventory. We don't really sit on anything for more than a week or two, so it's really important to have whoever's on the floor to be the person who's doing the buying.
So they're really passionate about it.
Yeah, and they can take it personally, and customers know they're, you know, getting their beer from the person who chooses it, and that's really important.
And like, in general, how have you found those people? People always ask me about careers and the beer industry.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, we've tried lots of things, but at this point, we have a really great crew, and they kind of come to us. They find us.
Yeah. And Kyle, tell us how Randolph works, because you've got a couple locations.
Yeah, we're similar to you guys there, Justin. We have specific people in each store, generally the general manager. And I kind of help out from afar, because, you know, developing a couple of relationships, you know, people like KCBC, Threes, other half, you know, I'll make some recommendations or see something coming down the pipeline, say, hey, guys, make sure we pull this aside. But one thing, we're actually starting a new initiative is getting all of our general managers to be certified Cicerones. So not only are they looking at what beer they're bringing in, but they're also taking care of the beer that they're bringing in. You know, we're passionate about the education side. All of our bartenders are certified beer servers, so it's kind of logical to make that next step of go ahead and make the general manager a Cicerone, a full Cicerone, so that way we make sure we can present the beer in the best light.
No, Dan, do you still buy the beer at the Pony?
Yeah, I buy all the beer at the Pony Bar. Just simply, the emails go to my inbox. It allows me to just sort of sift what we need, what I think is popular, what I think people want. It's always a combination of trying to get things that I think people want and trying to get things I think people should try. And it's that fine line, that constant fine line between stupid and clever, because I want to please people, but at the same time, I want to try to turn them on to new things.
What is it? Fine line between stupid and clever.
You know, I mean,
it's genius.
You don't want to have a
whose life is that, Robert?
You don't want to have a West Coast.
You should put that quote up at Grand Central. Probably more people walk by your store, Grand Central Station. Let's find the fine line between stupid and clever.
I've got a question, Jimmy, for the group. How important would you guys say, like, the reps relationship with you, not just specifically like a rep for Union or Manhattan, say, but just specifically the breweries? Like, you know, are they coming in and doing sales calls nonstop, or actually they developing a relationship? How do you find the relationships with those reps?
I think this is a business of relationships. I think that those are the most important things that we do in the beer industry, is we establish relationships with people and we keep them up. And that includes not just while they're doing sales calls, but like hanging out with them, like going to their birthday parties, or, you know, sadly, when like one of them goes away, like Krista Kilberg did recently, like going to her going away party. Like, those are things, because we have to realize that beer is an industry of relationships, and it's an industry of congeniality, and it's a place where we all come together over a shared beverage, and it shows us that we're not so different from each other. And in order to do that, we have to gather together, even outside.
Because there's fine line between stupid.
There's this fine. That's exactly right.
I think you hit it. You're good at that, Robert.
No, I just think I think the relationships are like, I think that's what we do.
Absolutely.
But I feel like now it's Dan, you're buying the beer, I buy the beer too, but I'm just buying the beer from like more of a pub style operation. Like I can't imagine like having a retail. How many different items do you have stocked, Justin, at Beer Hall?
It's a couple hundred, and in terms of beer, it's 80 to 100 at any given time.
So that's the manager. It's almost their full time job.
Yeah, I mean it's 10 to 15 changes a day. It's fast. And we try to. I mean, we just want to look different every time a customer comes in.
Yeah. And what about for you, Robert?
We have 16 rotating taps, and those rotate at least once a week, if not more. We have about 250 cans and bottles.
Yeah. And what are you guys doing? So the big story now is everyone wants to talk about the breweries. Randolph, you guys are having is it a restaurant brewery license?
I mean, how are you doing it's a full-on brew pub license. We kind of came around to it simply because we found this space, and it was amazing space, and we knew we wanted it. We just knew it was huge, and we had to figure out a way to fill this space because it's 7,500 square feet, which is massive. So we were trying to come up with ways that we could fill the space and be cool and be fun and exciting. And, through the discussions, we're like, well, we know so much about beer. Why don't we take a go at it? Try our hand at the brew pub. And it's been exciting. It's been trying. But, I really think that we're going to be able to make our own little mark in the New York City beer scene and add a lot to what, everybody else is doing.
You just did a preview with Josh Burns. Josh Burns is like the go-to guy. Everyone, he previews, you work with him too, Robert. Previews breweries.
Oh, yeah, he lives in our neighborhood. He's a regular.
He does the can jams at Threes. So what's the preview? It's next week.
It's Thursday. This coming Thursday, 2 days from now. Basically, tickets are on sale. You can go to our Facebook page, get the Eventbrite. It's just to give people a chance to say, who wouldn't normally be invited to, say, a friends and family or something like that, to get the chance to come see right as we're opening. Come taste some of the first beers out of the tanks. I mean, right now we have 3 beers ready to serve. We actually have one here tonight. It gives them a chance to be one of the first people to taste those beers and come see the space and explore and check out what we're doing.
Yeah. And who popped these beers? These Pappy's Porter, yours? Tell us about those, Dan.
A friend of mine lives in my building. My lovely wife, Lisa, refers to him as one of my divorce friends because if I keep hanging out with him, I'm going to get divorced. He does a lot of business in Vermont.
Another fine line between stupid and clever.
But he's always in Vermont on business, and he always finds time to make a trip to Alchemist and bring very generous with his stuff. And I'm usually the beneficiary of a lot of cans from Alchemist. So
this is Alchemist.
Yeah, Alchemist. Pappy's Porter. And then there's another one. Beelzebub?
Beelzebub. Yeah,
Beelzebub.
That's the one I'm drinking. It's delicious.
Imperial. Yeah, it's good stuff. I thought it would be something maybe you didn't always see, Try to be unique,
So this beer still jazzes me, Alchemist. What are some of the beers that jazz you guys? Like, Alicia, are you a beer person?
Definitely.
Yeah. What are some beers that you really like?
Oh my goodness.
I can't wait to get back to my place and drink this
beer. I am so excited to see what Grimm's going to start doing in their own house. I love those guys. They're the best. They're just amazing. I'm excited for Evil Twin. You asked a question earlier of what's the best thing about doing the business, and you said the supply, and it really is. It's the supply. Like, it's just watching the people that live in your backyard that are just making great beer, and it's impossible to pick one. But I'm excited for my friends. Again, you don't fall in love with a beer; you fall in love with a brewery. Some are always better than others, but you're there for the long haul.
Wow. Justin, the dean over here.
What?
Justin from Beer Table. I called you Beer Hall before.
Beer Hall.
I admire you a lot because
it's not
like
even as big as a hall.
Back then, you had like my favorite go to place, even though I could never get into it because it was so small. But you've really changed your whole model from a little boutique bar to a retail operation. What are some of the items that are just flying out on you? I mean, can you even keep track?
Not really. And since I'm not buying right now, I'm not even drinking that much beer. I'm divorced, got to ask this question. But our can volume, it's just nuts. I mean, we just look at like how quick it's changing and how much is happening, and it's just amazing. So
I become a can guy too. I used to kind of not think it was anything serious, but you know, I usually take cans home. If I see cans in the store, I'll buy them.
Yeah.
What about you, Robert? What are some things that you really, you know, jazz you up?
Oh gosh, if we're going to talk about cans, I mean, I can go all day. I'm so happy that Barrier's canning now. I love that we get in Greenpoint cans that a lot of people don't get in, because we've got a really special relationship with Greenpoint. We've done a couple of collaborations with them.
Greenpoint Beer and Ales.
Yeah, Greenpoint Beer and Ale. Yeah, actually in Greenpoint. There's a lot of them. I mean, like Grimm, you're absolutely right, Alicia. Like Grimm is making some great stuff. I can't wait until they get into their own space. Again, the two that I brought, Peekskill and Industrial Arts, are also making. I mean, Dan, if you want to take notes, like these are the 16-ounce tall boys of our lives. Jack's Abbey, like if we're going up beyond New York, like a really solid lager brewery. I could go on. I would be remiss to not mention. I know this is specifically Good Beer Month, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Kyle and Say at Graft Cider, who I think are doing the most exciting thing in cider right now. And we can't keep them on draft, and we can't keep them in the shelves.
You know, what? One time we had on the Goza on draft. It was a
Goza-style
cider, I don't know. And people thought it was a Goza beer.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand that Kyle and Say, Kyle comes from Millstone. He was the
Maryland,
assistant at Millstone. And so he's got that sort of, like, you know, the way he looks at cider, but then also Say can't really drink beer, but they both love beer, so they're making cider like beer, and they're doing so with wholly wild fermented yeast, and all of them are sour, and everyone has no right to be as good as it is, but it's so amazing.
Robert, you're like a preacher, man.
Yeah, I'm telling
you.
Keep
going, bro.
I'm telling you. Like,
amen.
I don't want to undersell this. I think Kyle and Say are doing the most exciting thing in cider right now.
Beer.
Yeah.
Kyle Kansler here. Tell us more. You're ready to roll, too. Let's keep rolling.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I just started pouring the summer Saison, one of our first beers we made, Saison with lemon zest, lime zest, and ginger. You get the ginger.
Great taste of the ginger, yeah.
Yeah, really nice and pronounced. One of the things that Alicia mentioned that I kind of caught on to was she was talking about how her friends, you know, friends of, you know, Evil Twin and Grimm and stuff. And that's what's, you know, talking about the relationships Robert said earlier. Like, that's one of the most exciting things. I had the fortunate experience to see KCBC way early on before they opened up. It was just literally a concrete slab, and they had just jackhammered one little corner. And to now see their bustling tap room in Bushwick on a Saturday afternoon, that's what's exciting, is it's just not like, oh, yeah, another brewery opened up. It's our friends opened another brewery, and it's such a tight community.
That
you
was
know.
One of my friends. That was
yeah.
Like-
Exactly. You know, we can continue to say, you know, oh, yeah, my friend did this. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's almost, you know, not even 6 degrees of separation. It's like 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah. He's my friend. You know, I mean, he's my friend. Tell us about your friends, Alicia.
Which friends?
I don't know.
My friends.
Your brewery friends.
Oh, Joe and Lauren and Brian Strumpke and just everyone. Everyone that you see.
We should do a quick
street.
Plug for Grimm, because they actually have a fundraiser coming up this week, and I forget the exact date, but they had an issue with their tanks out in Portland.
Same thing
as Saturday.
Barrier.
Yeah, Grimm and Barrier both had an issue with getting their tanks from the manufacturer out in Portland, so they're doing a collaboration with some proceeds going to fixing out the tanks. So everyone who's listening should definitely check out that information and go support those guys.
What style of beer is that?
I'm not sure, actually.
Robert, you don't know?
I'm pretty sure it's a double dry hopped IPA.
Oh, yeah?
Both of them. Yeah.
Would make sense.
Which sounds like the style. That's my next question is, what is the style right now that everyone's dying for?
On our boards, we've had to start adding DDH before a lot of different things because it's double dry hop, and that's what the people are going for. I was going to say the kids are going for, but I think it's everybody's going for it. So it used to be we have a beer, a double IPA from this specific brewery, but now that beer is DDH. It's double dry hopped. So that's the sort of the thing that's sort of become a selling point. We have that on the board now. Back to Grimm really quickly. There was a great article that mentioned Grimm with some photos in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Worth a read. Yeah, exactly right.
It's coming out like today, isn't
Josh
it?
Josh Bernstein's article today.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It all comes back to Josh Bernstein. Hi, Josh. Happy birthday.
All right. Hey, we'll take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Great.
Sam Ben Ruby, host of The Grape Nation on Heritage Radio Network. Tune in every Wednesday at 6 p.m. to hear some of the best people in wine tell you about what's going on in the world of wine. Support my show and all of Heritage Radio Network's programming. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate.
Hey, let's come back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's middle of July. We're talking with some great beer bar owners and managers about what's just going on in the state of beer right now. So one thing that's interesting is that, like, Alicia, for you at Meckleburg's, you know, and you were like me, I was more of a wine person, and there were some beers I tried that made me, you know, turn me on to beer. What was that beer for you?
Probably a blend of Aventinus, Optimator, and Celebrator.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah. But with some I didn't like beer. I didn't like beer-flavored beer. Everyone makes fun of me at the bar.
That's super specific.
I like Bock beer. It was sweet enough, and I... But it was, now
it was
I love everything.
A Schneider brewery. I'm trying to get this. So Justin used to work for the importer that brought in Schneider and some other classic beers like Hitachino and... I don't know. Is that a common story for you, that people tasted some of the great German, Belgian beers and that turned them on to beer?
I mean, it was for me because I was selling wine when I ended up working for Beer United, and it definitely kind of brought me into it. I'm probably not going to answer your question, but I have something else to say relating to that.
You can do that. I guess I want you to talk about the old days, Justin.
Yeah. Well, when I interviewed to work for Beer United with Matthias,
that was like, what, 2000?
I don't know, 2003, 2004, something like that. The first thing he did was a blind tasting with me, and I was so intimidated because I didn't know anything about beer at all. And it was wonderful because it was all about just talking about, like, what was I was experiencing. And, you know, I probably got everything totally wrong, but it was really fun. And it's something that I still think that, as excited as we are as what's happening in our community and New York changing and the city and breweries happening and all of our friends and all the nice things that we're saying, I'm going to be the negative guy and say, I think it's really important that we taste blind. I think it's really important that we, like, as much as we love everyone and all the new things that are happening, that we're actually paying attention to what's really good out there. And... you know, still, let's support our local and let's do all that, but let's really taste and let's make sure that we don't lose our old classics. Let's not lose Schneider. Let's not let all those things go away because we're so interested in whatever's new.
Schneider, you know, Aventinus was one of my favorite. Years ago, I think it was a fake Oktoberfest party where this German artist was at my old bar and she was, you know, suspended on a billboard and doing, like, radical live art. And I drank 8 Schneider Aventinus that day. I smelled like beer for 2 days, but I was like, this is my kind of beer. So,
are you sure she was on, like, a, like? I mean, how would you know after 8?
It's called live art painting. I don't know. I'm not sure how many feet she was off the ground, but I don't know. Go on. Alicia, I'm trying to get you to talk about beer, but I know you love food, too. So,
well, one of the cool things I would say, you know, Justin, you're mentioning that, like, don't forget the classics and stuff, but it's kind of fun to see that come back around full circle now. I mean, especially with the Pilsner that's kind of, you know, really hitting, you know, threes, the summer of Pils last year. Now a lot of people are doing Pilsner this year. But I would even say, like, you know, some of the Bock beers, you know, Volksbier doing a Hell's Bock and a couple, I think, a secondary Bock. And, you know, maybe we're going to get some, you know, Doppelbocks and these other, you know, sort of classic styles coming back into focus as people go, you know what, those double dry hot, crazy double IPAs are great every now and then, but sometimes I just want a refreshing, super drinkable beer that has some depth of flavor, but I definitely don't have to think about. I can just drink it and have fun.
When we tap Mars Ungespundet, it's gone in a day.
Ungespundet is such
a great
beer. It is
gone in a day. It's just, it's, and that's why you're exactly right. You can't forget.
I get that. I get that beer in bottles. I get that beer on draft, and it doesn't matter. People just go crazy for it.
Even if you, not my favorite, but like Goffel Kolsch, it's 108 degrees outside right now. You want to talk about, and this.
Who knows? I just ordered Tall Boys of Reisdorf Kolsch, you know? Like, I mean, do it. Yeah. Do it. It's,
who knows what actually Ungespundet means?
Ooh. Oh, Jim Barnes probably does. Yeah. Jim
Justin,
Barnes
do you know?
Definitely knows.
You don't know.
Wait a minute. Repeat it again.
Ungespundent.
Oh, is that that German purity law? Or is that something else?
No, that's Reinheitsgebot.
Yeah. Sorry. My German is rusty.
Well, Zwickel means, Zwickel style is like, it means the, it's the special batch of unfiltered beer that only the, like, the brewer gets the key for. And I think Ungespunnen is related to that. It's something about.
This is great.
I don't know. That's anyone look that up? What does Ungespunnen really mean in the context of beer? At least you'll find that out for us.
I just said the word.
We need a caller. We need a caller to call.
We know that Ungespunnen is Mars. If you don't know Mars, Stephen, I mean Stefan Mars out of Bamberg. Has anyone been to Bamberg? You have, of course. You have, Justin. What did you? Which breweries did you visit there? Talk about like homeland of beer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the most concentrated group of breweries that I know of, at least where I've traveled in Germany. But probably the most beautiful little town too, totally preserved. All on a hill. Schlenkerla is the most like picturesque and like amazing tavern from the 11th century. It's a beautiful place, and Mars is wonderful as well. I mean, just a great drinking culture and very unique styles coming out of there.
You know, that was very, Alicia, thank you for bringing up Mars Ungespunnen. Man, this could be a whole other show.
Thank Justin.
But Bamberg, you know,
he's, like, he's the one who told me.
You got to do some pilgrimages. And who's ever been to Belgium to check out breweries there? Of course, Justin. What were some of the breweries that you used to work with from Belgium?
There were a lot. De Dole pops out just because it's always one of my favorites, but lots of other little ones. Alveen and Hansen's, one of the very unusual old classics.
And Hansen's doesn't brew, they just blend,
just
right?
A blender, yeah. Yeah, definitely. One
and
of the
and isn't he, like, George Flickinger would tell you the story better than I could, but isn't he like a air traffic controller during the weekdays?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
And then on the weekends, he blends
beer?
You know,
it's funny. A lot of the really the renowned Belgian brewers that we know, or the small breweries, all have day jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Who knew? Yeah. Let's talk about food and beer pairings, because we have special places. So, Alicia, I know you guys make some great food in a very small kitchen.
That chicken sandwich after midnight.
We don't really have a kitchen. We have
but
two
you still make food.
We make food.
So don't tell me we don't have a kitchen. But
no, well, we have no gas.
You do a lot with a very small
space. I have electric heat. Yeah. But we've been very fortunate. We do make good food, and we make good food well, and we've been very lucky to be recognized for it. So it's great, good food.
So, Robert, you like the chicken sandwich?
Oh, that chicken sandwich at midnight? Oh, my God, how many times have I been there?
So what beer should we have with a chicken sandwich at Meckleburg's?
Oh, God, have a Saison. Like, have a farmhouse ale. Like, have something that's, like, got a rich, yeasty character to it that's going to back up that, like, cayenne pepper, like, and also sweet note that it has.
We have, like, a rosé goza or something.
There we go. That would also be really good.
That would go really well.
Like, something like sour. Or like something with like wheat that's got like a malt character.
Yeah, it goes with
everything.
While we're doing that, if there's one more,
I've had it with an IPA. I've had
one more beer. Let's pour it. Hey Justin, so for you going, I'm getting you to talk because you are one of the deans of craft beer in New York City, and I do think an important part of why I like you is your travels and your experience selling, you know, Belgian and German beers. What in your days of the old beer table when you had the little menu and everything, what were some of the typical dishes that you'd serve for beer?
I kept it really simple because just like Meckleburg's.
Peanuts.
Pickled peanuts.
I want that recipe.
There's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. I mean, like we just.
Pickled peanuts?
They're in the shell. They're the most amazing thing ever.
This one. Yeah, I mean, we did silly experiments like pickled peanuts and dehydrating watermelon slices and just things that were just.
You did some weird stuff also, like certain types of eggs.
We pickled eggs.
We pickled
a ton of eggs. It was all about like whatever we could preserve and make in batch, and then you know keep in the walk-in. And beyond that, it was simple stuff, just like really good beans. You know, simple things that would be good, but that wouldn't outshine the beer tasting experience.
Yeah. And Kyle, what are you guys doing at the new Randolph Beer with a brewery in Dumbo?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything on the menu that we should know about?
Well, we're starting with the same menu that we have in South Williamsburg and in Olita, and then we're going to add a little bit of extra. We're going to do a raw bar. That's the intention, being in Dumbo, incorporate some oysters, some crab legs, and then take our menu maybe a little bit further. As you know, we like to call it Randolph 2.0, as this is like the new version. This is, you know, Windows Vista now being updated finally. You know, we're moving forward. We've got some new ideas that are going to come out, but we always tie it back
What's
to the
Windows?
Beer. Yeah, seriously. You know, even the way that we approach the beers that we're going to make, we actually sit down and talk about the food that it's going to pair with before you've even brewed it. So like our session IPA, for instance, we kind of have an idea of the flavors in our shrimp tacos that we want to connect with when we brew the beer. You know, we have that luxury of having our kitchen and the brewery, so might as well integrate them and then also take the beer back and do vinaigrettes and, you know, and different sauces, you know, with some of the stuff that we're doing.
And then, Dan, for you, I think, to me, beer and food is an important part of going out. And in Germany, they have Gemütlichkeit, if you don't know what that means. That's like the general happy hour vibe, where traditionally you would go and, you know, go to a friend's house and have a little wine or beer with light snacks. So I was like...
That word actually means like a state or being of happiness.
Wow. And what about for you with the pony bar? Because... You know, I know you've had restaurants, you've done food stuff. What kind of food do you have at Pony Bar?
You know, with the Pony, it's always been three things. It's been American beer, food, and rock and roll on the playlist. But tomorrow,
I know about the rock and roll part, man.
Yeah, rock and roll and rock and roll can
gotta
then
get
be
your
anything.
Brand out there more.
Yeah, maybe. Tomorrow we're rolling out a new food menu, and it's the first revamp of the Pony food menu since 2009 when we opened. We've always grown the menu twice a year by one or two items. If three items came off, four or five went on. Tomorrow, we're going to roll out something very different. It's more of an overhaul or a fresh look. Today's menu has 27 food items on it. Tomorrow's will have 20, and of those 20, 10 are brand new. So it's really an overhaul. And the whole idea behind the food we do is that it's supposed to be interesting, because I think the beers we serve, for the most part, are interesting. And it's supposed to pair well with food. And I'm not looking for a flavor profile. I'm not looking for some far-reaching idea of flavor profiling. I'm just looking for things that taste really good and that I think are good
so
beer drinking
what's
food.
What's one item I should get tomorrow on your list?
Honestly, the wings, man. I'm so stoked to have our wings on. We dicked around with so many different recipes, from confit wings, all these different styles. And we've never had wings at the Pony Bar, and now we're going to have wings for the first time tomorrow. And it's the most requested item that we constantly have. How come you guys don't have wings? But now we will. So,
What kind of wings?
Both styles. Hot and not as hot. You know,
because there's a fine line between stupid and clever. I love this guy.
So it's I'm really excited about it. Yeah. It's for our first overhaul. So,
and then quick, let's do this because everyone loves food here. So quick, go around. That was your wings is what you're thinking. Alicia, favorite food to have with beer can be on your menu or not. I'm sure you'll tell what's on your menu.
Porchetta sandwich.
Oh, that's a good one. Kyle,
love mussels. Mussels a la beer, it's one of the best things ever made.
So cooked with beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice wit beer to pair with it, too. It's perfect.
Do you guys serve that at Randolph Beer?
We have had it on off and on for a couple years. Kind of bring it in season, take it out when it's not in season. And actually, we do a Thai style paired with Finback's Double Sesh, their wit beer with the ginger, Szechuan peppercorns. Perfect pairing right there.
Sounds great. Robert?
On our menu, I would say definitely the Havarti and arugula with fig jam grilled cheese.
Wow, that sounds really good.
It's really great. I have it with bacon, but, you know, you don't have to.
Good. Justin, going back old school.
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing it, it was definitely the dried snacks, tomatoes, watermelon, things like that.
I had some great experience with your crew. There was one year that the B United brought in the brewery chef from Schlenkela. And they also brought in the brewery chef from Snyder, and they did some traditional brew house dinners. And the best dish that I didn't get was on one of the menus. It was supposed to be a bull's testicle carpaccio, and we didn't try that hard. We weren't really able to get the supplier for that in New York City. So we asked the chef in Germany, you know, what should we substitute? And he said, well, if you can't get the bull testicle carpaccio, just get veal brisket. So if you're ever craving for a real, you know, Bamberg dish, just get veal brisket. All right, thank you. I was working after that one all show, but this is a great show. Last things about, you know, like, you know, about you guys as beer bar, beer shop owners, what makes you unique, you know, from breweries and you know, distributors? And I think there's something special about the people in this room. You know, you don't all have to answer, but what is so special about beer bars?
I think it's a commitment to local.
I think it's the fact that almost, maybe not quite, I'm oversimplifying, but almost everyone can afford it, which is really nice. It's You go into a wine bar now, it's $16 for a glass of wine. You can walk into Meckleburg's, and we have a bunch of different beers at $5. You can get an Narragansett and a shot for $6. You could be sitting next to a hedge fund manager, sitting next to a student, sitting next to, I don't know, someone who just doesn't have to work. And it doesn't matter. You could just, like, have a beer, sit at a bar, unwind. Everyone's got stresses. It doesn't matter.
It's the Everman beverage, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I would say that, you know, it's hard. Running a beer bar, opening a beer bar, it's not easy. So you have to be passionate. You know, you can't just do this and kind of go, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do because I'm doing something else. You have to care for it. You have to love it. You have to be fully invested. You know, for something like Pony Bar to be 8 years now, going on 9, like, there's a reason why you've been able to survive and be one of those stalwarts is because you're passionate and it shows. And so, you know, I think that's part of the beer community that Robert was talking about earlier is, like, we're all passionate about it. And so when we get together and we talk, we all love to talk about it and share and you know, communion, you know.
One of the great things about beer is that it's a unifier. And it doesn't matter your religion or your race, your economic standing, who you root for, where you pray. At the end of the day, beer is sort of the, I don't say it's a common man's drink, but it's certainly a unifier. And to sort of capitalize on what Alicia said, you can be sitting next to anybody. You can be anybody sitting next to anybody else. And it's, you're all sort of enjoying the same process. You're all enjoying the same liquid. And that's one of the things I noticed. I'm in my bar 6 nights a week, 7 nights a week. And it's just, it's a true, one of the few true unifiers that I can think of that, you know, it's not sports. It's not religion. It's certainly not politics, but beer is something that people sort of can come together over.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would say it's like, it's not the end. It's a means to an end. It's the ability to create community.
And Justin, for me, you know, I'm taking the Metro North out of Grand Central. Looking forward to a cold beer. What should I do?
Go talk to my good people. They'll help you out
at beer table.
They'll take care of you.
Yesterday, I did some cleaning out at my place. It's like went through some old cookbooks and. At the end of it, you know what I wanted? I just wanted a good old lager, and I had Green Flash C2C lager, and I appreciate those cans now. So I've come a long way in 1 year. So you guys have been influencing me. Thanks to everybody. Gosh, this is like Dan McLaughlin from Pony Bar, Robert Cheryl Moss, Covenhoven, Alicia Meckleberg from Meckleberg's, Kyle Kensru, Randolph Beer, Justin Phillips, my idol. From my beer table. Guys, thanks for checking us out. And check out Randolph's new brewery in Dumbo. Good Brew Seal. Like, you know, look it up. Goodbrewseal.com. Check out. There's about 70 beer bars in the New York area that many of us think are, you know, representing the ideal of independent, you know, craft beer focus, you know, retail and beer bar operations. And just want to give a big shout out to everybody. Thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy, and assistant, Hillary Fassett, and, of course, our engineer, David Tatisher. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo, woo, woo. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.